All right, good to see you tonight. Hope you've got notes. You're going to need them tonight. We've got a lot of stuff to cover. I'm going to kind of go through this relatively quickly. But these are some basic things about Sunday school. And you say, well, why are you taking church time to talk about Sunday school? And it's because I believe it's really that important. As a matter of fact, I think that's one of the reasons our Southern Baptist Convention has been in decline over the last few years is because we've focused on other things besides the thing that helped us to grow and reach people. We focused on worship. There's nothing wrong with worship services. I love worship, so I love to preach. David loves to sing. We love that. But the thing that's driven our growth over the forever, as long as we've been alive, has been Sunday school, because it's where the church functions. It's where the church grows. It's where people get connected. It's the outreach arm of the church. It's so important. And so I just kind of want to raise the temperature of Sunday school some and talk to us a little bit about Sunday school that works. And like I said, last week and tonight, I'm borrowing this material from a great book called A Sunday School That Really Works by Steve Parr. One of the best books I've read on Sunday school in a long time. And it just reminds us of some stuff. If you've been around church, Southern Baptist life for a while, you know a lot of this stuff. This is not new, but it's just like anything else. We need to be reminded. You know, there are two rules of winning. Number one is you don't want to beat yourself. You know, number two is you need to be good on the fundamentals. You know, that's what my coaches always tell me in baseball. You know, don't beat yourself and, you know, be good on the fundamentals. You got to hit the ball well. You got to catch the ball well. You got to be able to throw the ball. You got to be aware and those kinds of things. So that's kind of what I want to do in our time together stuff. So I want to read two passages to just remind us about the importance of small group ministry, Sunday school in the local church. And they're in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, and then in Acts chapter 5, verse 42. On the church's birthday, it says of the early church, they devoted themselves, in verse 42, to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayers. And fear came over everyone, and many wonders and signs were performed to the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. So they sold their possessions and property and distributed to the proceeds to all as everyone had a need. I just sometimes say, man, I wish I could have been there. Those would have been so exciting. And then verse 46, this is the one I want to highlight. And every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex. That's a large group. Every day they did in the large group for worship. And then they broke bread from house to house. And then if you'll turn to Acts chapter 5, verse 42, there's another kind of summation of the early life of the church. And it says, and every day in the temple complex and in various homes, they continue teaching and proclaiming the good news that the Messiah is Jesus. In other words, from its very beginning, the church existed in a large group in the temple for worship, but they also met in homes, in small groups for ministry, for teaching, for fellowship, for the breaking of bread. And those two things have to work together. And in our Southern Baptist life, that has been Sunday school. There's our small group. And then our worship services on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night are the large group. And so I want to talk tonight about the small group and what makes it work. And so before I do that, let me pray. Father, pray tonight that you would just encourage us, remind us of things that most of us, many of us already know. Maybe some of this is new information, but just encourage us and inspire us about the potential of what can happen when our Sunday school functions on all cylinders and how many people can be reached and taught and equipped and found places to serve and on and on and on. Father, it's a wonderful tool you've given us. And I just pray you'll help us to use the tool in an effective, efficient manner. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Sunday school that works. In his book, Dr. Parr takes the acrostic works and he talks about five different elements of Sunday school. Some of you remember Flake's formula, and there are certain things there that are part of Sunday school. This is kind of like that, but I want to talk to you. And last week we talked about some things, and number one we talked about the W, which is a Sunday school that really works wants to grow. You know, you can't, we were at a discipleship conference a few weeks ago with Claude King, and Claude made this statement, you can't disciple anyone that doesn't want to be discipled, you know. And a church that doesn't want to grow won't grow. And Sunday schools that don't want to grow won't grow. And so the very first thing is about attitude. We've got to want to grow. And not just grow numerically, but grow spiritually. You know, the Sunday school doesn't exist just for us. It exists for to reach people and teach people and minister to people with the Word of God. And that means some things. It means that we have to position ourselves to grow. And we talked about that a lot last week, so I'm not going to dwell on that too much right now, except the attitude is so important. You know, you would think in the Baptist church that every group would want to grow, but that's not always the case. You know, we sometimes get comfortable in our little group and we don't want to move. We don't want to change. We just kind of like one another. And that's wonderful. That's one of the powerful things about relationships. That's what it does. But that's not the end, because we exist not just to feel comfortable. We exist to reach people and teach people and minister to people. So the O stands for it organizes to grow. It's more than just want to. If you're going to grow, there's got to be some organization. And some of us are better at this than others, you know. I had one fellow tell me that he didn't believe in organized religion. I said, we ought to come to my church because we're about the most disorganized church I know. You know, you'd feel right at home there. But most churches are, you know, we organize because you have to. You got to have a plan. You got to have a game plan. There's got to be somebody, you know, that's in the lead and others that follow, and everybody has a part to play. And so there's some basic bullet points under here that are just really important, and I just want to hit them. Okay, number one, the Sunday school leaders are continually recruited and equipped. If the Sunday school is going to be organized, then the leaders have to know what the organization is. They have to be equipped and how to do Sunday school. And that's a big thing. Is a lot of people, they're just given a Sunday school quarterly and a leader's guide and say, we just need you to teach. Would you just teach? And they're never really, really trained about what Sunday school work is all about, because Sunday school work is much, much more than just teaching. But also, Sunday school leaders need to be recruited, because you can't have a class unless you have a leader. Y'all ever notice that? You know? And there used to be, you know, their old saying years ago, you know, in order for Sunday school to grow, you've got to multiply classes. You know, you got to divide classes, start new classes. Well, that's not the reality, because what happens so many times is you divide a class and you blow up a class, you know, and both classes suffer. If you want a Sunday school to grow, you've got to multiply leaders, because leaders lead classes. You just can't have a class. You've got to have a good leader. And if you have two classes and you have one good leader, one bad leader, it's not going to work. So you have to recruit leaders. Where does that happen? You know, every year we have needs in our preschool area, our children's area, our youth area. We have ministry needs in church. Where does recruiting happen? It happens in the adult division. The adult division is the most strategic. I didn't say important, but I said strategic area in the church, because that's where most of our workers come from. And so whose responsibility is it to recruit leaders? It's everybody's. Every Sunday school teacher ought to be looking around for those in his class or her class that have leadership potential. And I'm not just talking about leading up front. I'm talking about doing other things. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But we recruit people and train them and equip them in Sunday school. And there's continual training going on. And the best training is on-the-job training, you know. Actually getting people involved in those things. So that's a really important thing. Leadership is so important in the Sunday school, because here's the basic formula. More leaders you have, more ministry you have. The more leaders you have, more classes you can have, more ministry you can have, more people you can touch. And so leadership is important. Helping people take the step of commitment. You know, instead of just sitting, listening to a teacher teach from a Sunday school lesson every quarter, the teacher has a goal that I want my class to be leaders. And I want to send my class members out to be teachers in the preschool area, in the youth area. I want my classes to be, my class members, some of them to be in the choir. I want some of them to be ushers. I want some of them to be out there. And a good teacher says, you know, my job is to look and see potential and say, hey, would you help us with this area? And then lead them up. Okay, number two is expectations are established and communicated. If you don't know where you're going, it really doesn't matter what direction you take. You ever notice that? And expectations are developed and communicated. Expectations as far as when you show up on Sunday morning, leadership training, outreach, fellowships, those kinds of things. It's also everybody's on the same page. And we agree together, this is the goal. You know, if you had a football team and they weren't clear in the expectations, some thought they were out there just to look pretty on the field in their uniforms. And some thought it was all about them being a star. And some were out there and they really didn't know why they were out there. Somebody just told them, you got to get out of here. It'd be a mess, you know. And so there's expectations. Here's what we expect. Here's what our church expects us to do. And here's what we expect to be. And so they're established and those are communicated. Number three, classes are established for all age groups or life stages based on, now this is really important, you might want to underline this, who we want to reach, not who attends. That's really, really important. So many times we just have classes and groups based on who we already have. And that's a sure way to decline. Because what happens if you don't have a class, say, for college and career, and college and career folks show up? They're not going to come back because there's no place for them to connect. And so you say, well, yeah, but how do you do that? Well, I've always told my class, our Sunday school, you know, we start a class, and if no one shows up on that day, that doesn't mean you can go to your adult class. What it means is that you ought to fall on your face before God and pray that God will send you some people. Pray for the people on the roll or people that should be in that class. Pray that God would use you in a powerful way. And if that had to go for a month, just imagine, or 2 months, or even 6 months, just imagine the power of a teacher praying, God, I've got a burden for our college and career, and there's none coming. And God, help us, help our church, help me. Just, I can't help but believe God is going to bless that. And so, classes are established for all age groups or life stages. Now, let me say this, because we can talk about this a little bit. And that is, most classes are typically age graded. And there's a reason that classes are age graded. In other words, some classes are from like 25 to 35 and 35 to 45 and 45 to 50, you know, that kind of thing. And we have always talked about, you know, in Sunday school about promoting up to your next level and that kind of thing. And people freak out about that because they say, oh, we can't do that. You know, I like my class and we go someplace else and stuff. The reason that Sunday school classes are age graded or life track. In other words, life track says that, believes that you have more in common with people that have kids your same age. For example, parents of preschoolers have more in common with one another than parents who don't have preschoolers. Parents of teenagers, no matter what their age is, would have more in common with one another than, say, parents of that are same age but don't have teenagers. And so some churches do it like that. But the point is, it is not necessarily for us. It is an outreach tool. It is a way of organizing to reach people, because the idea is that a 25-year-old comes into a class of 20-somethings and there's nobody in there younger than 40, they're probably not going to connect with that group. See, it's about the people that we don't reach yet. It's about the people that we need to reach. It's not just about us and our friends and stuff. It's about those that we don't reach. And that's why it happens. And two, when people promote, it kind of shakes us up. You know, and every once in a while it's a good thing to be kind of rattled a bit, to have to develop new relationships and a new class. All of a sudden, you know, we had a full class and all of a sudden have my class promoted up to the next age group and I don't have near as many. Man, I might have to start praying again. I might have to start visiting people again. I might have to start thinking about who I can reach. And so that's kind of the point of age grading or life track. I know it's tough. I mean, you know, I kind of got... I just say a little, David, offended today when you said senior adult choir was like 50 and up, because I'm 56 and I don't think I'm a senior adult. So I'm, you know, we all kind of struggle with ages a little bit, you know, but we connect. That's one of the ways we connect. And notice also, you establish classes for what you want, not what you have. You grow that way. And so you may have a class and you may have one person there. Well, once again, You establish classes for what you don't have. Number, and the last thing here, I need to move on because I'm getting way behind if I don't. Classes are led and served by a team. Really important. Not just about the teacher. It's about a team. Every class should have a team of folk that are helping to lead it. Now, the teacher is maybe the leader, but he or she has to have a team around them in order to meet all the needs of Sunday school. Because it's not just about teaching the Bible. Matter of fact, I tell people this all the time. Sunday school is not about teaching the Bible, because the Bible can't learn a thing. Sunday school is about teaching people. And if you teach people, if you minister to people, you not only have to teach them spiritually and intellectually, you've got to minister to their emotional needs, their physical needs, other needs as well. So that's why you have a team. And I have the team members down here for you. A teacher, a secretary, And a secretary takes care of the ministry role. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. A prayer leader who helps the Sunday school focus on prayer, maybe is the captain of the prayer chain or takes care of the prayer list. An outreach leader who is in charge of making sure that the class reaches out to prospects, reaches out to people, has people at the church visitation, keeps outreach before the class. A care group leader or care group leaders that minister to the class. For example, if you've got a class of 15 or 20, the idea is that you break that class down into smaller care groups. And a care group leader then makes contact with that group every week. And we'll talk more about that in another day. And then a fellowship leader who plans the parties. And the reason you need these folks, for example, fellowship leaders, most people that are gifted to teach are not gifted fellowship leaders. Because most of us that teach see fellowship and that kind of stuff as a waste of time. We want to teach. You know, we think that's important. And it is, but fellowship is just as important. And we're going to talk about that a lot here in just a minute. But it's very important. So you need somebody that enjoys getting people together and planning those things and making sure that's a part of it. So a team. Now, you say, well, I don't have that many people in my class. Well, some of these things can be combined. But it's also one of the principles here is that everybody has a job. Everybody feels ownership. You know, you feel like you're part of a team and you're working together. And it takes some of the load off the teacher to do all the things that need to happen. So a Sunday school that wants to grow, it organizes to grow, okay? Class, teachers, structure, that kind of thing. Number, the R stands for a class, a Sunday school that really works, reaches out to the lost and unchurched. Evangelism is one of the key ministries of the Sunday school. As a matter of fact, Southern Baptists have always, up until recent years, believed that Sunday school is the evangelistic arm of the church. That's where people are reached because there's power in relationships because most of us are reached through relationships. And Sunday school is geared, is structured, that's just a part of its DNA because it's a relational-driven ministry. And so let me hit these points. Number one, pray for your class and with your class that God would use your class to bring people into a saving relationship with Christ. It all starts with prayer. Evangelism always starts with prayer. Pray for your class. Your class may not have a burden to reach new people. And so as a teacher, you ought to be praying for that, or an outreach leader. But you also ought to pray that God will use us to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, some people say, well, Pastor, you know, our class, we're at a certain age, and there are no more lost people at our age. I beg to differ. There are a lot of senior adults that are lost. There are a lot of young adults that are lost. There's no group where everybody's going to be saved is going to be saved. Matter of fact, we had our senior adult ladies class. They were all like in their 80s. And they were so on fire. They were praying all the time. We had at least one in recent days, a few years ago, that was saved in that class. And so it starts with prayer. Number two, establish a prospect list. You ought to have and I usually call these prayer lists, but a prospect list. These are people that you know that are either lost or unchurched, that are in your age group or your life stage that your group is concerned about. And every one of us have friends that we work with, that are relatives, that are family members, that are somebody that we know, best friends, golfing buddies, fishing buddies, you know, shopping buddies, whoever, that are lost and unchurched. And those names ought to be on a list in your class for three reasons. Number one is so you can pray for them. You pray for those people every week. In class, as a leadership team, as you gather, those people are prayed for. Number two is it's an invitation list because every time your class has a fellowship or party, every time your class has a ministry project, those people ought to get a call or a letter or a card from your class saying, hey, we'd love to have you be a part of this. And number three, it's for contact. Every one of those people on that prospect list needs to be contacted sometime on a regular basis just to say, we're praying for you. Make a contact. We'd love to have you come be a part of our Sunday school class. Those kind of things. And be invited to come to church. I think I skipped one, invitation. All these people need to be invited to come to church. And so a prospect list is important. And then that's who you use to do your outreach on a weekly basis, to send them a card, to make a personal visit, to make a phone call, those kinds of things. And there's all kinds of things. That's a whole nother seminar. Next is participate in the ongoing church outreach program. I know we don't have one right now, but we're about to start one, okay? And when we do, one of the things that I ask people to do is I asked for every class to be represented. And the reason is because it's easier for a young adult to visit a young adult than it is for a senior adult to visit a young adult, and vice versa. And so it's really important to participate, because people say, well, this day and time, people don't like to be visited, all this kind of stuff. Well, I don't know who comes up with that stuff. All I know is that the churches that are growing, they do outreach. They just do. First Baptist Woodstock, they do outreach. Second Baptist Houston, they do outreach. And so it still works. It's, you know, some people say it's scary, it's uncomfortable, and whatever. Well, I've never found that to be the case. You just have to be sensitive and be trained, and we'll do a lot of that training. But you participate. Your class is a part of the outreach. Next is you offer at least one fellowship opportunity each quarter. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, what does fellowship have to do with outreach? Well, let me tell you. It's much easier for somebody to connect with your class at a party than it is on Sunday morning in a Bible study. Just easier. It's easier for some people to come to your house for a barbecue than it is for them to come to the church. And once they connect with the class at a barbecue or at a bowling party or at something you do, or go out to lunch with you or something, well, they make connections and they realize, oh, those people down at Meadowbrook, they're not weird after all. They're nice people. I like them. That's fun. That's a good thing. And so you need to have these regular outreach. And fellowships can be just as outreach oriented as visitation. And we'll talk about that. And it needs to be at least one a quarter. Used to be the standard was one a month. But in our day and time, that may be a little bit much, but we do one a quarter. And what we did at our last church, and we may do it here if it's okay with everybody, is every quarter there's a fifth Sunday in the quarter. You know, and typically it's been a fifth Sunday singing. I'm all for singing. I love singing. But we would take one Sunday night a quarter and not have church, so that small groups, Sunday school classes, could have their fellowships. And it was just kind of, you know, I found if it's not on the schedule, if not on the calendar, don't get done. And so we just put on the calendar and say, okay, that night we're going to fellowship. And we provided childcare for the young adults so they could have their kids taken care of while they had fellowship. And so it's really important, in other words. Next, create a welcoming environment in your class. Because if you get lost people to come to your class or unchurched come to your class and they walk in and no one says hi to them, no one offers them a Sunday school lesson, no one helps them find the sanctuary after the worship service, chances are they're not going to come back. And so you want to create a welcoming environment in your class. You want to have somebody that's designated to be a greeter. Now, you don't have to have a tag on that I'm the greeter. You just have somebody in your class that's friendly, that's an outgoing personality, to be aware as people come in the door that he or she don't know, they just make a beeline to them. Man, how you doing? We're so glad you're here. Sit with them. Make sure they get a cup of coffee. And then after Sunday school class, say, I'd love to show you where the sanctuary is, and we'll sit together. That just makes people feel just so well, you know. And train your class, you know, instead of when a visitor comes in, everybody's kind of looking at them like. You talk to them. You connect with them. Find out their names, those kinds of things. So a welcoming environment. Coffee is a good thing. People find it easier to talk when you have a cup of something in their hand, you know. So coffee, Diet Coke, Dr. Pepper, whatever, there. One of the things, too, is have name tags. Because most of y'all have been in the church, most of y'all, you know people. But I promise you, visitors, they don't know. And one of the things we used to do is we had a name tag system in our Sunday school, and this is the way it worked. Every member had a name tag, it was on a board. And on the back of the name tag was their phone number and address. And so every Sunday, they come in, they got their name tag off the board. And so they had name tags. So when visitors came in, they could call people by it had a big first name and a little bitty last name. So everybody could call it by name. Every visitor got a name tag that was the same kind of name tag. It was one of those plastic things, and they just had to handwrite it, but they got one too. That helped in several ways. It helped visitors be able to know names. And then every Sunday, guess what you had on that board? The leftover cards. You had a visual representation of how many people missed Sunday school. And so what we would do with those name tags is that the outreach leader or the care group leader at the end of the class would say, okay. And he'd take all those things and he'd say, now these folk weren't here this Sunday, and I'm not sure about the reason, so I'm going to pass these out. Would you write their name and phone number and address, if you don't know it, on the top of next week's lesson? And between now and next Sunday, would you contact those people and tell them we missed them? So anyway, that worked there. Next is equip your class to be good inviters and good includers. Invite people to come to Sunday school. And then include them when they get there. Focus on seasonal opportunities. By that I mean when there's a holiday, when there's Christmas and Easter, those ought to be really big deals. You know, for Sunday school, your class is not just about worship service, it's about the Sunday school as well. Make sure your class is going to do something special. You know, you might want to do a breakfast. You might want to have a special class. Those seasonal opportunities, Christmas, when you have your Christmas fellowships, that is so important to invite all your unchurched and lost friends to that, because those are really good times to connect. People are open to invitations to come to church during those holiday seasons, Easter and Christmas in particular. Lastly, equip your members to share the gospel. As a teacher, be training your people how to do that. And I'm going to train you as well. So you're going to get a lot of training in how to share the gospel. But that's one thing a teacher can do. And the best way a teacher can train a member to share the gospel is him, he or her, take them with them and watch and then train them on the job. We'll talk a lot more about that in coming days. The question is that Steve asked in his book, and this is a great question. Is your class a houseboat or a fishing boat? Isn't that a good question? Is your class all about just being comfortable and kind of chugging down the river on your lounge chair and sipping your mint julep and your Dr. Pepper and just look at them, oh yeah? Or is it a fishing boat? Are you out there trying to catch fish? Which one should it be? Should be a fishing boat. Fishing boat. Okay, let's go. Let's move on here. I'm getting behind. Keeps all the members connected. That's the K. Keeps all of the members connected. Let me say this. I'm going to kind of camp out here for a moment. I still got a few minutes. Take advantage of your ministry list. Notice I did not say your attendance list. Okay? Underline this, highlight this, bold this, tattoo this on your forehead. It is so important. Your class row is more than just a list of people who attend your class. It is a list of people that your class is committed to minister to. That is so important. It is not just keeping track of who shows up. It is a list of people that God in His sovereignty and in His grace and your class in their ministry efforts have connected with and taken responsibility to minister to. That's a world of difference. Because what that does is, what do we want to do with our roles if people don't show up after a while? We want to purge it. We want to clean it off, you know, if it's an attendance list. Because what's more important? Attendance. But if it's a ministry list, what's more important? Ministry. What if people don't show up for a long time? What do you want to do to them? You want to minister to them. You want to serve. Now, if they die, you take them off the list because you can't do anything else. If they move to Canada, take them off the list. But if they're still breathing, if they're still local, then they deserve ministry. And there are three things that we need to do with a ministry list. Number one is to intercede for each person every week. I've already told you, I use a church row and I pray for everybody every week. Sunday school leader, outreach leader, class ought to have a ministry list that they're praying for each other every week. Number two is to invite everyone to every fellowship and every ministry opportunity. Whether they're unchurched, whether they're members, whoever, they need to be invited. Now, when they tell you, hey, I don't want to hear anything from your class ever again, then you say, fine, that's great. But most people would be glad for the invitation. Next is to involve everyone in meaningful Bible study and ministry. Because the only way I know to reach people is when you have a name, phone number, and address. Then that name, phone number, address is a precious, precious thing. And the only way we can invite them to come is if we know how to get hold of them. And they ought to be invited. Now, I'm not talking about inviting them every week, but at least once a quarter, they ought to be contacted. Because I'll tell you what will happen. First time or two, they'll probably say, nah, I don't want to do it. You know, I got other things going. My life is cool and everything's fine. I don't have time, man. My golf game is suffering if I have to miss Sunday morning or fishing or whatever, you know. And so you do it for a year and they're, nah, that's okay. But they still allow you to call. But what's going to happen is at some point, all of a sudden, life's going to take a left turn. They're going to lose a job. Kids going to get in rebellion. Maybe marriage hits a rock. Something's going to happen. All of a sudden, their neat little comfortable world that they enjoy every Sunday morning sipping the mint julep is going to come to crash and halt. And it's amazing how many times when that happens that a Sunday school class that's diligent about keeping contact with people will call up and say, hey, you know, I know we call you, we're just concerned about you. And just want to know we're praying for you. And we're going to have a class social this next week. We'd love to have you be a part of it. And by the way, before I let you go, can we just, is there anything I can pray for you about? Man, the door's open. Here you are right there. But if you had taken that person off the list because after, you know, we've been after them for a year or two or three, they haven't joined our class yet, we would have missed an opportunity. And see, that's kind of what the ministry role is all about. And then the last thing is to involve everyone in meaningful Bible study and ministry. You want people to be a part of your class. But once again, the only way that happens is regular ministry and contact and stuff. That makes sense. Isn't that a different way of looking at things? People say, you know, I had a class one time. They used to have a banner row. And every class, whoever had the highest percentage of their attendance got an award every week. Which I know that started out to be a really good thing, but like everything else, the devil took it and twisted it. Because it got to be, well, if we have 50 on a row, we only have 25 show up. Well, instead of us going out and working on those 25 that not showing up, what's the easy thing to do? We just reduce our row by 25. We have 100% every week. And then you reduce it by 25 more, and after a while, it's just you, and you can have 100% every week. The goal is not to have 100% attendance every week, even though that's a great thing. The goal is to minister to people and serve people, whether they show up or not. Because how long did the Lord have to come after you before you finally said yes? Aren't you glad the Lord didn't take you off his roll? How many years did you say no, no, no? But the Lord kept after you. He pursued us. Left the 99 to go after the one. I know it's frustrating. I know it's hard. I know all about that. Trust me, I have a nickel for every time somebody told me they'd be at church and they didn't show up. Y'all would never have to pay me again. I know how hard it is for people to say, oh, I'll be there. I don't really care, whatever. And hear that week after. I know. Trust me, I know. But I also know how wonderful it is when the Lord's circumstances are there and God just orchestrates it and you just happen to call them that week. And you see somebody that was hard as a rock all of a sudden get soft and get saved and get part of Sunday school. And so it's worth it. People are worth it, okay? Next, make regular contact with every member. Here are the deals. Every first-time guest should be contacted within 72 hours by your Sunday school class. They're going to be contacted by me. They'll get a letter from me and a call from me and a visit and all that kind of stuff from our staff. But every Sunday school class. Every member who is absent should be contacted within the week. Now, you may know why they're absent. It's still nice to be called and missed, you know? And two, isn't it true that the squeaky wheels are usually the ones that get all the grease? And most of us are here all the time and sometimes we just kind of take it for granted, you know? We shouldn't take it for granted. If I missed during the week, it would be nice for somebody to call me and say, hey, Pastor, you know what? I know that you were not feeling good or you were out, but I just want you to know we missed you, you know? That makes you feel good. Makes you feel good when you're missed. And so every member, whether they miss and whatever the reason, that'll get a phone call from either the Sunday school teacher or the care group leader and said, hey, we just missed you. And we hope to see you Sundays. Can we pray with you? And then lastly, every member on the ministry list is contacted at least twice each month for prayer and to determine ministry needs. Whether they miss or not, whether they come or not. You just call them up and say, hey, you know, you're on our ministry role at our Sunday school class. We just want you to know, number one, we're praying for you. And how can we serve you? You know, we just want to invite you to come to Sunday school. If you haven't been in a while, we just want to invite you to come. But we just want you to know we love you and we're praying for you. You know, and remind you, next month we're going to have a fellowship. We'd love to have you be there, you know. Some Sunday school classes contact everybody every week. Now they say about a couple times a month. Just to contact, and that by the phone, and it's amazing. We got these text messages now, we got email, we got Skype, we got all kinds of ways to contact people. But people that are contacted, one church did this where they set a goal in a month to make sure every member, everybody on their church row got at least 3 contacts every week. Oh, Pastor, that would be hard. But you know what happened though? Their attendance went up by 25%. You know why? Because people felt cared for. You see, sometimes we spend way too much time trying to get people interested in our church when we ought to be spending all our time being interested in people, loving on people, meeting their needs, serving them. And so people are contacted. Once again, it's just a way to make people feel, you know, and you don't want to contact and say, hey, you've been missing 4 or 5 weeks in a row. We're just getting tired of that. We won't know what's going on with you. Don't do that, because there's some people probably shouldn't be on the ministry, you know, that team, but you can do other things, you know, maybe you can be behind the scenes somewhere. But anyway, but you want to do it in a loving way, okay? And, okay, number next is make class fellowship a priority. Now, develop a welcoming, caring environment for members and guests on Sunday mornings. Let me say this. Sunday school leaders and greeters ought to be in place at least 10 to 15 minutes prior to the class starting. You know why? Because people usually that visit come early. They're not like us. They come early. And one of the worst things in the world to happen is for a visitor to come and sit in a room by him or herself in the dark. It's horrible. So you want people there early to minister to people. And plus it just says something about the party, doesn't it? We're excited about Sunday school class. We're excited about this ministry. We're going to be here early. And by the way, start on time. You say, well, Pastor, my class doesn't get there on time. You know why it doesn't get there on time? Because you don't start on time. You start on time if it's just you and your wife or you and your whatever, or it's just you. You just start teaching to the wall. After a while, your class is going to go, oh, man, he's going to leave us behind if we don't get there early. So anyway, we'll talk about that some other day. Greeters in place, greeters at the door to welcome everyone, connect with this. Name tags, that's a really good thing. And then last, plan at least one class fellowship each quarter. We've already talked about that. Next thing is make starting new classes a ministry goal. The goal is not just to have a big old class. The goal is to multiply. And by the way, those classes should not just be limited to Sunday morning. Even though we call it Sunday school, there are other times when Bible studies can meet. As a matter of fact, it's a really good thing this day and time because there's some people, because of work, they can't come on Sunday morning, but they need to be involved in Bible study. Our preschool children's workers, they teach class every week, but they don't have an adult Bible study. That's a good thing. There are people in your workplace and in your neighborhood that could benefit from having a Bible study in the neighborhood on a weeknight. And once again, a great thing for a Sunday school class, and once you get to a certain size, say, hey, you know, we need to start another class. And here we go. And we'll talk a lot about that one day. And then next is regularly engage your class in missions and ministry opportunities. Once again, Sunday school class is about teaching people, about reaching people, and about ministering to people. And ministry means missions and ministry. And every Sunday school class ought to have a ministry ongoing mission project, whether it's every 6 months or every year. Maybe your class adopts a missionary. Maybe there's a need at the service center. Maybe your class adopts some kind of mission going on to serve or to collect things for missionary, those kinds of things. And then ministry to one another and those kinds of things. But you need to engage your people because, see, and part of teaching Sunday school is to lead people to apply what they've learned. As a matter of fact, if you're not leading your class to apply what they learn on Sunday morning, you're only doing half the job. Matter of fact, I think you're just doing a third of the job because two-thirds of the job is all about application and leading your class to do that. And so one of the ways we do that is to lead them to minister, to lead them to be on mission. And so we'll talk more about that one day too. And then the last one here, because I'm running out of time, is to sharpen the skills of the leaders continually. Sharpen the skills of the leaders continually. Make training a priority both personally and as a group. By that I mean as a Sunday school leader, every time there's a training opportunity, you ought to take advantage of it. Like there shouldn't even be a question unless you've got a divine conflict that you're going to be there Saturday morning, August 23rd for training. That's what leaders do. When you quit learning, you quit leading. But as a group, you ought to be training your class. It would be, there's nothing wrong with taking a class period or half a class period or even a quarter of a class period and say, hey guys, you know what? I want to just take about 15 minutes today and train us about being a welcoming group. And I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page and understand that when we have a visitor, and it's probably a good day to do it when you don't have guests, by the way, but to train your class how to be welcoming. To say, you know, I need some people that will be at the door and be greeting people. We probably need to kind of spiff up the room a little bit. You know, maybe have coffee or some juice or something for people to come in. Make sure that when a visitor comes in, somebody gives them a Sunday school quarterly. And if we don't have Sunday school quarterlies, maybe have somebody come down the office every Sunday before class and run off a lesson or two just to have it in case. And we'll say, we'll give you, you'll have something to hold in your hand. And somebody's going to be responsible for doing that. And then somebody's going to be responsible for making sure that if a visitor comes, that he or she or their family, they get a buddy that they'll go to worship with him, they sit with him, and they do all those kinds of things with him. And train people how to do outreach, how to do some of these things. Next, use class time for organization. I've just talked about that. Next, take advantage of Sunday lunch. Everybody's got to eat lunch. A great time to have a team meeting for Sunday school, and a great time that I like to do Sunday school training is Sunday lunch. As we all got to eat anyway, so we just eat together and we learn together. That's a great way to do it. Next is utilize technology for equipping. One of the things that I plan to do is to have video available, like on Facebook or YouTube or something, where me or somebody's going to sit and teach the lesson, give you teaching tips. And so you can just go online and watch that video for about 10, 15 minutes and get some equipping. There's all kinds of things on YouTube and the internet to help you learn with books and all kinds of stuff. Next thing is to participate in regular Sunday school leadership meetings. We're going to try to do those. They're not going to be weekly, may not be monthly, but we're going to have regular teacher meetings. We're going to figure out time to do them, and we want everybody to be there, to be equipped and be trained if you're a Sunday school leader. And then sharpen lesson preparation and presentation skills. Every teacher ought to be equipping themselves. Every year, for example, I set a goal of reading at least 4 books about preaching. Because I'm not there yet, and I want to grow and I want to learn. Every teacher ought to set a goal of having equipping themselves how to be a better teacher, how to study the Bible, how to use Bible software if you've got a computer, how to do presentation, how to do application, how to lead your class to do those things, how to organize your class into care groups, how to organize your class for outreach, how to create a welcoming environment in your classroom. All those things, and it's just continual. And there's books, and there's video, and there's all kind of stuff. And it's just a wonderful day to live in because there's so much out there and stuff. Okay? The question that I want to leave us with as we get ready to go tonight is this. What's your Sunday school class like? Is it a houseboat or is it a fishing boat? If we want our church to grow, and I know everybody does, and this is a great church, we've got a great history. But one of the things that we need to do, just to be real honest, is we need to ramp up Sunday school and make it a place that people, you know, because I pray for the day when we have more people in Sunday school than we have in worship. Right now we have about 50 more people in worship than we do in Sunday school. And that's 50 people, by the way, that ought to be on somebody's prospect list that are being contacted because they're already coming. And listen to me, the easiest contacts to make are the people that already come to church. Say, we'd love to have you in our Bible study, you know, and stuff. So we're going to be talking a lot more about these things. But this is kind of just food for thought, kind of a real quick overview of what Sunday school does. It works. And there are people that say, you know, the day of Sunday school's passed and all that kind of stuff, and Sunday school doesn't work. Well, my observation has always been that Sunday school doesn't work because we don't work it. Sunday school is hard work. It takes a lot because all this stuff, you go, man, how can we do all this stuff? It just takes work. And we, you know, that's why you need a team. That's why we have a whole bunch of groups and have a whole bunch of leaders and a whole bunch of people. They need more people involved because it just takes work. But I can't think of any other work I'd rather do, and any work that's more exciting and more adventurous and more fun than doing the work of ministry in Sunday school. So, the early church met in the large group, and they met in the small group. For our church to get bigger, we got to get smaller. And that is, we got to prioritize the groups and get people connected and get those things working and get them, make them good places to be, okay? Are you ready? Are you ready? All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for our time together. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful tool that we have of Sunday school. And we've talked about a whole bunch of things tonight. Yeah, I know it's overwhelming. Many of our classes do some of this already. Some of them do all of it. But Father, we pray that before it's all said and done, that our Sunday school will really, really work. People are going to be equipped. People are going to be taught. People are going to be ministered to. People are going to be saved. People are going to be equipped and become leaders and be involved. And it's just going to be a great, great experience as we reach out to this community. Help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Want to offer an invitation tonight because, you know, we talk a lot about, this has been really practical about Sunday school, but you know, sometimes it's just the point we may need to make a public commitment as a teacher. Or some of you may not know Jesus, and you just need to know Jesus. You came tonight to hear the gospel. You didn't hear that. You heard about Sunday school. But I want to tell you something. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to give you life. He wants to give you joy. And you can find that tonight. Okay? So whatever the Spirit has led you to do, and I encourage you to think about what is it that I can do, ask the Lord to help you. And for some of you, that may mean coming down here and getting on your knees. Okay? So let's stand together. Dave's going to lead us in a song. And then I encourage you to respond as the Spirit of God leads you.